You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And now, as promised, it's time to welcome in Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley, who joins us to talk about what's going on here in the community and answer questions and stuff. Good morning, Mayor. How are you today?
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Taylor. I'm well. Thank you.
Heidi ho. Why am I saying the weirdest things today?
I don't know.
I just started.
That's your function, I think.
It'd
be weird.
Maybe.
Let's get started. You mentioned a story that the Napa Valley Register has just recently published that we want to ask about.
I did. This hero pay that you guys talked about Tuesday night in your meeting, do you want to talk a little bit about that, what the premise is and what the... premise and promises. I'm just going to keep on with my weirdness.
Wow.
No, yeah, certainly. You know, it's brought to us by, you know, I think they're the commercial, food and commercial workers that, you know, are our checkers and our grocery store workers. And there was some significant outbreaks of COVID in some stores. Mm-hmm. Locally and nationally, so the bigger marketers that are making record profits because people aren't eating out, and so we're buying more groceries. So, yeah, and you may have experienced it when you shop yourselves. That, you know, often items that you normally pick up aren't available anymore. So there's been a big push, and our food industry's done a remarkable job to keep our country fed. But I think the workers, you know, being considered essential, right? That's mm-hmm. what started out. You need to go to work. You cannot work remotely. You need to be dealing with the public at the store. And, you know, they did take precautions. A lot of the plexiglass screens were up, and, you know, the extra help to wipe down carts and all those safety measures they did. I think that, you know, that the labor groups were looking at, you know, would it be appropriate to recognize the hazards that we are doing with some temporary pay, you know, a hazard pay. So most recently, American Canyon just enacted one, and it sunsets in 120 days, so it doesn't like it runs all the time. And our council, we felt they had a legitimate ask, and was it too much for these big changes? It's not going to hit the little stores, you know, the little maybe locally owned neighborhood type stores. It's targeted at those over 300 employees nationwide. There's some criteria for it. So it's the bigger, the Luckies, the Albertsons, Nob Hill's under another one, I think, but
okay.
Kruger is a big store that we don't have. They're another one. So council directed staff that, you know, this looks fair. You know, let's recognize these workers with, you know, some hazard pay because they're out there. And so I was happy with council, the majority of us, in fact, it was unanimous, that said, let's get this working. And they've been challenged legally. I think there was just one that some city asked for a court for an injunction to stall it, and the court said, no, we're not going to do it. So it looks like it's going to hold up, and we hope we can get it enacted just to support those workers that are there every day selling us groceries.
Yeah. I've always thought since the beginning of the pandemic, I know I would go into the grocery store and thank the checkers and the people bagging the groceries, the people stocking the shelves, not in like a thank you, everybody. But, you know, I would make a point to go up and say, really, thank you so much for being here. And I remember very early on, I was at the Lucky's on California Boulevard, and there was a man in the produce department that just was like, he looked just like he got hit by a truck. He was exhausted. And I said, thank you to him. He's like, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been crazy. We've been here. I've been working straight, and I still can't keep the shelves stocked. Like, people are just insane right now. And
imagine how the toilet paper section people felt.
It was during that time. I know.
But at least those cases of toilet paper aren't too heavy.
Very true.
was lightweight. But no, that's so good of you. And it's that just that to remind ourselves to be kind and recognize, because they deal with grumpy customers. You know, the customer will come in and yell at the checker or yell at the, you know, the bagger. People get frustrated and they want to take it out on somebody.
Yeah.
So just to remind ourselves to be, you know, be kind and compassionate and thank those people that are helping make our lives a little easier.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very good. So the Register also has, within the last day or two, a more comprehensive story on what we discussed last week, the money getting to the cities and the county from the feds in the latest relief plan. We talked last week with you about the $15 million approximately that the city of Napa mm-hmm. will get. And the current story talks about the other municipalities and the county and what they'll receive. Are you still, I would assume, still in the process of sorting out where that money ends up, what it goes toward?
Yes, we're just finishing setting priorities. You know, the council every year during our annual workshop, you know, we look at things that we would like to get accomplished, maybe what's left out there that we haven't accomplished. And so council, we have two new council members, so the opportunity for people to, you know, kind of think this is what's important to what I heard when I was campaigning. So we're just finishing up that process, and then we'll roll right into a budget workshop. So as that rescue, the stimulus money comes through during the budget workshops, we'll determine, you know, how we use that money that comes in incrementally. We're not going to receive the $15 million entirely at one point. But that's when we'll, you know, and I think our big focus will now is to restoring some positions. You know, we our workforce is down about 80 positions, where that's 16% of the entire workforce for the city. We're down. And so I think we'll look really hard at, you know, what positions that we need to backfill and get back. And many of them are those public safety, mostly in police. I think fire is staff, but mm-hmm. mostly in police, you know, we're short. And then that just puts more work on the officers that are still there. We need engineers and planning to get projects that are coming down through worked on. So a lot of that's going to, I think, probably absorb most of that money that we do receive is to restore positions. It is one-time money, so we have to be careful because positions are ongoing. So we have to make sure that the revenue returns where we can, it's sustainable. And so that's the next chapter is our, and we're doing a one-year budget because it's so unpredictable. So our 2021-22 budget comes up, and we have to balance that budget. We can't run a deficit like the feds do.
Yeah. The Register also in their story points out, there's a comment from a quote from the finance director that you still have about half of the missing revenue to make up. This does not make the city whole, right?
Yes. Yes. That's from the reduction in sales tax and transient occupancy tax. Property taxes, you know, that's our savior. It's stayed stable and it's going up, right? Because the prices are going up.
But, a lot of home sales.
Yeah. Yes. And so, you know, that's helped, but that's true. That revenue, we're hoping the analysts for those projections looking forward really don't expect the economy to return locally, to its 2019 levels, probably till like the 2022. End of 2022-23, so it takes a time to build that back.
2023. Yeah.
Even though
it's the first time I've heard anyone say that date out loud.
Even though we are all talking every few days here, it seems somebody is saying the same thing. It was packed downtown. There were so many people dining mm-hmm. out. What are we hearing about return of some of that tourism revenue at this stage?
Strong, especially on the weekends. The hotels have reported that they're having, you know, 80% occupancy on the weekends, but then it falls off to 20% during the week. A lot of drive case people can drive here for a day, mm-hmm. so you see a lot of that activity. But those those visitors that stay for a few days or longer, that hasn't returned, and it that won't return for a while. International travel will be off for a long time. But our proximity to the greater Bay Area, Sacramento, we have a lot of those guests that come in for maybe one night, you know, or two nights over the weekend. But yeah, you're right. Downtown, it's looking pretty peppy.
Yeah.
And it's one of those words like "howdy ho." looking peppy.
Yeah. I'm gonna get everybody to start saying "howdy ho."
Oh boy. I saw some statement from the organization that encourages and fosters conferences and conventions and that kind of business travel, and they were asking the state to be more bold about guidance for that sector. And Napa doesn't rely largely on that, I don't think, but it's a significant piece. And
I feel like there are quite a few conferences happen. The Meritage has their big conference center, and
the Marriott does. So there's and it's a it's a big revenue dump when a bunch of people come like that all at once for a lot of different services and things. Stimulates a lot of people. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh no, that's the big piece of it. But on the other hand, right now, like cities and some corporations don't have the funding to hold those, right, to send their employees to those conferences, for us, the League of California Cities, the annual conference that generally all of us go to for three nights. Sometimes it's Long Beach or San Diego, and we go to those. We're not doing those, so they do a virtual option, which is really just not the same. So, yeah, until the money comes back to hold those, they will be kind of deficient for a longer period of time. But because of Napa's location to major airports and, it's kind of a little bit isolated, we don't attract those big conferences like the Sacramento can draw. You get to those in the convention centers downtown Sacramento where you get thousands of people come in. Our conferences, model are generally a little smaller, but they are a big piece of it, and they're not happening for sure.
Yeah. I was thinking about just a few years ago, all the conferences that, like the Disneyland conferences and when they would start picking back up, we talked about on the radio yesterday that Disneyland is reopening, but the hotels are kind of holding off and doing a phased opening. Cause that was one of their biggest businesses too.
Do conferences at those.
Yeah.
Hotels?
Because you think about it, you go to the conference, but you can bring your family. They go to Disneyland during the day while the parent, whichever parent works for the company, is in the conference.
Right.
The other one hangs out with the kids.
Yeah. I wonder what Orange County's budget sheet looks like these days.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to know.
Not the same.
Yeah.
So one other topic we have also touched on in the past, but want to update with the flood project, the new money that's coming in from the Corps of Engineers, big deal. There's a lot that will happen. When do you think people will start to see anything noticeable in terms of construction work or preliminary work on that?
Well, the preliminary work will start right now. So we're in negotiations. The flood district is in negotiations with the Army Corps of Engineers to work out the details on, the Army Corps of Engineers feels there might need to be a new agreement. So that language might, take for a while. But we're asking, the flood district is asking, to let us start the preliminary work because we have funds that are still in from the Measure A. And so we'll start the design, land acquisition, because we'll need some slivers of land, along the river that are privately held that will be, maybe impacted by some kind of a wall or a terrace. So that work can start this year, and it is starting this year. And so we're saying, let us get that done ahead of time. So then when the Corps comes in with the shovels ready to go, here it is, it's all ready to go. And we're optimistic that we could start something along those lines, that getting the surveys out, the markers out, and starting that type of work next year, mid next year. That's the goal. And the first phase will be the north of Oxbow phase. And then the second phase will be from the Hat Building south to Imola along Riverside Drive.
Mm-hmm. And once that work physically begins, it'll be a while, but once it starts, what's the time frame to complete those projects?
I haven't seen those calculations. I suspect it will move relatively quick. We're not building bridges. When we were doing it originally, we had when we built three bridges, and those are big projects. So it's I think it will be it'll go pretty smoothly, I expect. But I don't have any haven't seen any data on what the estimates for time would be once construction starts.
Mm-hmm. When we get the Costco.
Same
time frame.
That's a good one.
Hidey-ho, good joke. Thinking about time frames, do you recall, of course, when the flood control project initiated, 1998 was the passage of the Measure A, and then work started in 2000, and it was projected to have about a 5 or maybe even 6 year construction schedule. So we're now in the 21st year of a 5 or 6 year construction schedule, sort of like 3 days to 3 weeks to flatten the curve, right? Similar to that.
Well, we took a bit of a break in there.
There was a break. Mayor Scott Sedgley, City of Napa, any final thoughts?
I think I'd mentioned last week or so, you know, there's a different air. People are excited and happy and optimistic that things are going to get back. We're hoping with the 24th, we're hoping to move, that's still a little sketchy if we can move up to the next tier, but we're crossing our fingers.
Yeah.
So, it's just that, and we're doing in government, it's tough with less, but we have a few big items coming up ahead of us that we have to talk as a council that's all about. We just can't push it off, and our budget's a big one. The annexation program update will happen in April. I mean, that's been a topic for a lot of people, how we proceed down that path. We have looking at an ordinance on sidewalk protests. It's kind of part of the Planned Parenthood, the reproductive health clinics that create a lot of emotion and some difficulty there. So we're trying to address that.
Or the man downtown with that Trump sign still. Has anyone told him that Trump isn't in office anymore? The guy that dances? He is still there. He's a one-man solo protester that just dances with his little sign.
He's got a groove on every day.
I know.
He's a good dancer.
He right? is, but I don't know if he's gotten the memo.
Why don't we'll send you out on an assignment to talk to him.
I've thought about it many times.
Get an interview. All right. Thank you, yeah. Mayor Scott Sedgley, for your time today and each Friday. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for getting me up and going to work early on Friday morning. Get my thoughts together early in the morning.
Very good.
Well, I appreciate it.
Get out there and knock them dead.
Have all a right. Heidi Ho Friday.
There we go.
Heidi Ho weekend. Right. Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.